Welcome to the My Crazy Office podcast with the authors of Working With You Is Killing Me, Working For You Isn't Working For Me, and Mean Girls at Work, Kathy Elster and Catherine Crowley. They're committed to creating world peace, one crazy office at a time. And now, here are Kathy and Catherine.
Hey everyone, I'm Kathy Elster.
And I'm Catherine Crowley, and welcome to My Crazy Office.
Today we're going to discuss the issue of working with people who don't pull their weight. We'll start with a question from someone who is part of a three-person work team, and one of the team members is a total slacker. Now, I know we've talked about slackers before, but there's always room for more because they're maddening.
They're special.
Then we're going to have a more general discussion on how to deal with coworkers who just don't pull their weight in a team.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That is so irritating. And I usually start doing their job right. And then resent it afterwards.
That's right. Exactly.
I hope that our listeners will send more questions like this to info@mycrazyoffice.co.
Logan, let's read the question.
I'm working on a team project with two other colleagues, and one of our team members is a problem. This person is always polite when we actually meet, but keeps missing deadlines, not showing up for meetings, and ignoring all forms of communication, including text, calls, and email. When I ask what's going on, my coworker apologizes and says that there's a lot going on, and they feel overwhelmed. The other two of us end up doing all the work, and I resent it. Do you have any advice on how to get this person to respond and show up?
Don't do their work.
Let them fail, crash and burn.
Well, what happens when you do that for people, then they don't do it. They don't.
It's true.
They're like, oh, thank you. You got that done. I guess I don't have to do it. And then you train them
to not pull their weight.
But it's not a pretty scene building up to that because when you're going to miss deadlines until they learn.
Yeah.
But and we don't have a guarantee that they're going to learn.
No, you don't.
But you do have to go through that process, I think. I know it's really hard of letting them fail.
I'm rolling my eyes. No one can see me rolling my eyes.
But you have to keep track of it and let your boss know that this is what we're doing and that we've accomplished our tasks.
Yeah.
This person hasn't done theirs. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's something unteam-like about it, but look, there's always people in any collaboration that are stronger than others, some are weaker.
Yes.
So, you know, to what degree is this? It sounds like this is a real slacker.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting because I'm actually relating to this. I've been in a few classes recently, and I've done team projects, and I'm just realizing, as you were saying that, Kathy, that one of the teams I was in, there was this person, and English was her second language. And we all understood that, and therefore we understood that it probably just doing the assignments in general was tougher for her.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of this behavior happened, like not responding to emails or calls or texts, but she would show up for the meetings. And eventually we figured out that the thing she could do really well was the visuals.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And so she ended up, but this was learning the hard way. First, I compensated for her and would say, oh, no, don't worry about it, and resent it. And then eventually it got to the point where it was like, this person is really skilled at PowerPoint and presentation. Mm-hmm. So let's give her that. And she ran with it. So sometimes it might be finding the area of strength for that person.
Right. Mm-hmm. That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So not every situation is identical.
Mm-hmm. No.
But there's definitely slackers. There's definitely people that if someone else is going to do the work, they're not going to balk.
Right.
It's true.
Fewer of those faces I'm thinking of right now, people like that. So not everybody works at the same capacity, but...
So what would you do if
go ahead.
If you had a meeting, let's say, mm-hmm. and everyone had agreed to do a certain number of tasks, and the person who is the slacker shows up and has not completed his or her tasks, then what do you do? How do you make them do their work?
You strap him to the chair. No, I'm just kidding.
Well, or you could stop the meeting or reschedule it for another time. I'm just curious.
So if you're not in a position of authority, I mean, you can say to your colleague, well, you know, I know you're busy. We're all busy. Is there more help you need?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Do you not have the right equipment? Is there something you're missing? Like, well, how can we help you to get this done? Yeah. Or is it something maybe you don't want to do, or maybe you want to swap work? I mean, I would try to figure it out with them.
Yeah. Give them options.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that idea of swapping, too.
Yeah, see if you can work it out with them. But, you know, eventually you'll find out if this person just doesn't do what they're not good at, or if this person just doesn't pull their weight. You know, they just don't like to do their work.
So you have...
You give them the benefit of the doubt.
You give them the benefit of the doubt, and then you give them some choices.
Right.
And then if you continuously have the experience that they don't do what they say they're going to do, or they don't... How about the not responding to your texts and your calls and your emails? Have you ever had that, Logan, with someone you're working with?
Definitely.
Yeah. Yeah, what do you do there? That's something that really gets my goat after a while.
Yeah, that's a big problem. I mean, I have clients that have that with their superiors. They don't.
Right.
And it's, you know, they're just AWOL. It's a problem.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I would get another job, but that's not what everybody can do. I mean, to work with somebody who is unresponsive.
Yeah. Yeah, I think there's also, I mean, you're very skilled at this as well, Kathy, but that thing of you have to confront the behavior as well on some level, right? Mm-hmm. Like say, okay, we have to agree on a group, as a group, how we're going to communicate. And are we all willing to, if someone texts or calls or emails, you know, how fast do we respond back? Like you could create
you could
at least
do
some
that.
Parameters.
Yeah. Yeah. And you might even just say to that person, I've been calling and texting, and it just seems like that's not your mode of communication.
Mm-hmm.
Right. What is?
Right, what is?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you might get a flaky answer. Oh, I've just been really busy. My phone doesn't work. I lost my phone. Yeah. The dog ate the phone. You know, all kinds of things in the bathroom. You know, there's all kinds of reasons. I think you have to keep track of all of this, too, and tell your boss.
Yeah.
If somebody is so difficult.
So that's the other part, which is, it's the boring part, but it's about documenting what's going on.
But I also think it's appealing. You know, it's appealing to the person. Look, they know that they do this.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Most people are aware that they, you know, they have a capacity for very little work.
Yeah.
I think the people that do that know that.
Yeah.
And they see what they can get away with, I think.
Right.
Do you agree with that?
Yes. And I also think there are people who, it's interesting when you said about, do you need some help? Because I think there are people who are way over their heads who are afraid to admit that and then don't show up.
Yeah. I think there's some truth to that.
Yeah.
They don't know how to do it.
Yes. Exactly.
Well, this individual does say that there's a lot going on and that they feel overwhelmed.
Yeah.
But that can mean in a personal sense.
Yeah. Right, we don't know.
Or that can mean, it's very vague.
Well, that's the other thing is you need, and that's why the questions that you were saying, Kathy, are so important. You need more clarity.
Mm-hmm.
You can't, and this, because this whole situation is so vague, right, that you miss the deadlines, you forget about the meetings, you ignore all communication. Like, you have to be able to get a grasp on what's going on with this individual.
Right. And
so you can work with them.
And then I can hear some people, as they're listening, just thinking, Why is that my responsibility? That's their responsibility. Why do I then have to become their boss and manage them? And this is why working with people is very difficult, because not everybody has the same work style. Not everybody has the same capacity of getting work done. Not everybody's as smart. You know, there's lots of reasons why this working with other people is so difficult.
Well, and I think there are lots of reasons why you just take it over.
That's right.
Yeah. It's like, give me that.
That's right. And then you become really resentful. And that's, you know, something I like to do. And you like to do that
too.
Also. And then, like, they have no idea what I do for them.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And that's right. Probably don't.
Nor do they particularly care, actually, probably.
Right.
Yeah. Okay, good. So it is about then in some form information seeking, finding out what's really going on, seeing if there's some help they need, not just jumping in and doing it for them, finding out even if there's a lack of information they have or skill set or something, and then just trying in other ways to make them more accountable.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's a tough one.
It is.
Yeah.
It is, because I think the other thing is emotionally, at least I personally feel this weird combination. Again, I'm thinking of working, I worked with one guy who had a severe learning disability.
Mm-hmm.
And so I felt compassion for him.
Sure.
But also, like, I don't want to have to do your job.
Right, right. Mm-hmm. Don't want to have to deal with it.
Yeah, so it's not an easy line to draw often.
No, and now you need to go and kiss everyone that you do like working with. And be so grateful for how good they are.
But not in such a way that you'll be claimed sexually harassment.
Yeah, yeah. Metaphorically.
Yes, embrace them. All right, we're going to take a quick commercial break and come back with more on this topic.
Want to be a hot shot in your new job? Do you have a fancy new suit, but you're tired of wearing it to the same old office? Aren't you bored of staring out the window at Starbucks, wondering what happened to your dream career? If you answered yes to any of the above, stop what you're doing and give K-Squared a call. I mean it. K-Squared Executive Coaching will help you accomplish your career objectives and help you navigate the obstacles holding your career hostage. Simply go to our website, ksquaredenterprises.com, to learn more about our executive coaching and how we can help you. Come on, go ahead. You can do it. And now, back to our show.
Welcome back, everyone. We thought we'd spend the second segment of our show talking about how to deal with people who don't pull their weight in the workplace, just to continue on this topic. Mm-hmm. And I think this is a really hard one.
Right. Well, I was thinking it'd be good to maybe approach it from different angles. Like, what do you do if your boss doesn't carry their weight, right?
Okay. Let's talk about that. Yeah. I mean, that's a hard one because you can't go to them. You have no one to go to.
Right.
But maybe there is somebody in the company you can go to, whether it's an equal boss to them. Maybe you have a relationship with somebody. Mm-hmm. I would not go over their head, but to somebody else in an authority position who could maybe help you. And then there's always HR. Not all HR departments, but some HR departments.
Yeah.
Can help you with that.
Yeah. So the likelihood is you would at first just take on the work that they're not doing, right?
I mean, I've done that. I mean, this is part of managing up. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know.
Taking on their work is part of managing up?
Well, always communicating with them, asking for meetings, bringing an agenda, trying to take a pulse on their priorities.
Yeah.
I mean, if you become that kind of a worker where you are really present for your manager, they're more likely to show up for you than they are for other people. And if they continue to turn off to you and just not be present, then I would find another job.
Mm-hmm. I was going to say that seems like one of the clear indications where
they're checked out.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Okay. So what if then, and this is something that's being self-referential, but what if there's someone who always has a problem of one kind or another and they ask you to do their work for you?
There's somebody who always has a crisis.
Right.
There's always something wrong.
Exactly.
The dog's dying. They have a flat tire.
Yeah. Yeah. They have a doctor's appointment they forgot about.
And every hurricane, they've got a very close relative living there and they have to bring that person in. Mm-hmm. So they have to take a couple days off.
Right. Their grandparent has died several times.
Oh, right. Mm-hmm. And they need donations. They need hip replace. They need a lot of things.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's always somebody like that. They get found out.
Right.
They usually get taken care of.
I was going to say, I think the trick for me with that kind of person when they come once again asking me to do some huge portion of their work is just to say I can't. I'm in that capacity. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. Which, again, is not easy to do because this kind of person plays on your sympathies.
Right.
And so you feel like a cold bee.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. It's not pleasant. Mm-hmm. But you know, if eventually they burn enough bridges and they've had enough dramas that they get canned. That's the good news about a person who has a lot of drama. They don't hang around too long.
You have to wait for the canning effect take place.
But if you work in a company or you just enter a company and there's a lot of people like that, there's some bad management.
Right.
Right.
Yeah, and I think it can be tempting if you are someone who is kind of heroic in nature, like you really like to get things done, to get caught in a real cycle where you're taking on a lot of people's work and burning out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We've seen that a few times.
Yeah, I think a lot of people do that. They take on, first of all, they do it because others are not pulling their weight, but they also, there's also people that just do it because they like to overwork.
Yeah.
So you have to be careful. Because you can piss people off by taking their work.
Well, it's funny because I'm actually remembering a hospital client we had, and one of the head coordinators, everyone mm-hmm. came to her with every single problem that they had. Mm-hmm. And then she was so overwhelmed that she couldn't get her actual work done. Mm-hmm. Remember that, Kathy? Mm-hmm. So I think what's interesting with that is you have to literally, you just have to keep saying no, because if you've trained people to come to dump their work on you, you then have to untrain them to stop doing that.
Right, mm-hmm. right. So, all right, so we have the coworker, the boss, what else? Husband? No. Okay. Now, we all know someone at home who doesn't do things.
Well, actually, that's a great... I think what's true with the husband, the coworker, the boss, and perhaps even the employee is you can't... You don't... It doesn't work to get mad and then say, you never, mm-hmm. you always, I'm not, I cannot do this again, that kind of thing. Like, mm-hmm. if you've suddenly decided, okay, there's an uneven distribution of work here, mm-hmm. I think you just have to start with the next task at hand and say, I'd like you to do this. Mm-hmm. Because I think whenever you say, I've been doing all the work here and now I want you to do this, what do you think that triggers in the recipient?
It's not good.
Really? It's hard not to bring history in.
Yeah.
Say, like, I've covered for you every single time, and now I want you to do this.
Yeah, it doesn't work.
No. Mm-hmm.
So what do you do at home? I just do everything. And then I'm resentful, but I don't say anything anymore because it doesn't work anyway.
So it's quiet resentment?
No, I let it go.
Yeah. Well, there's the other thing.
Because I think it's a need in me also.
Does the individual not see? Or if you presented the individual with...
Well, we train people.
I've been doing this, and this. Mm-hmm. Is the response always, oh, my God, I didn't realize?
Well, that's what you want them to say.
Right.
It's rarely, oh, my God, I didn't realize.
No, it's usually like... It's usually like, why never do it right?
We're back at home now.
Okay.
But it's a really good point, Kathy, because that happens in the workplace all mm-hmm. the time. Mm-hmm. And that's the thing is what, I mean, this
you
is
do it so well.
Well, we train people in abdicating mm-hmm. because we'll take it over. If you don't do it the way I like it and I criticize you and they say, okay, well, you do it, then you've got another thing that you have to do.
Right.
So,
wow. I'm sure people purposely do things wrong. I'm sure they do. They purposely do things wrong
right.
So everybody will come and just do the work.
You're absolutely right. I know someone who's done that to me.
Oh, my goodness.
Really?
In the workplace?
I didn't think it was really that thoughtful. Really?
Yeah. Well, I think a lot, right along the same lines of what you're talking about, which is it's a task they don't really want to do.
Right.
So, like, you're good at this. I can't do it. So, and I say, well, why don't you just try? And then they do a really crappy job. I'm like, give it to me. I end up taking it back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that's really interesting.
So what we're saying is so if you're with a slacker, it may be your fault.
Good job.
You may be enabling. Don't be a slacker enabler. That's what we're saying.
That's it. Yeah. That's what we're talking about. I definitely am a slacker enabler.
Yeah.
I admit it right here on the air. I'm Kathy,
I'm a slacker enabler.
It's making my life unmanageable. Well, I think it's great to acknowledge that. That's right. And so then what you have to do, and we've talked to managers about this, you have to be willing to have someone do something differently than the way you do it. Mm-hmm. And it may be only 80% of what you like. Kathy's mm-hmm. nodding because mm-hmm. I know you've given this solid advice to people. Mm-hmm. It may only be 80% of what you would do, but mm-hmm. you're not doing it.
Right. So you just let the 80% go. Just let it slide
by. The 20% that's not the way you want it.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, you have to learn to just let people grow and do... I'm talking to myself. And learn...
There's a mirror right in front of her. No, we're just kidding.
Well, the classic thing between a husband and wife is, you know, the wife might say, will you just get the kids ready for school, right? Mm-hmm. And they're little toddlers, and the kids come with their clothes on backwards.
Right.
And the mother's like, what the heck are you doing? Right.
Right.
And it's
right.
like, you're never going to do that again. Or they just say, what an interesting style. Off they go.
Yeah, if the kid's happy. I remember the kid didn't care, so okay, why am I caring?
Right.
Right, right. Completely mismatched and looking crazy. You know.
Yeah, that's a hard one, the home. Let's not go there. Okay. It's really hard.
All right, but we are making an important point here, which is that if you are working with someone who tends to unload their work on you, the first thing is to say no, and the second thing is to learn to be satisfied with what they produce, even though it's not exactly what you would do.
Mm-hmm.
That's correct.
Okay. Join us next time for another My Crazy Office podcast. Tweet us your stories to AskK2. Follow us on Instagram, review us on iTunes, and don't forget to send your questions and stories to info@mycrazyoffice.co.
My Crazy Office is produced in New York City at K Squared Studios. Stay crazy.